The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials, and welcome back to The Toast, and happy Friday. A great day.
We did it. We made it. And once again, Bruno is in studio. He has decided to come out of retirement and come to work with us, and it's such a joy and such a gift. And I know everyone's been loving his presence on the show, even though he did get some hate-filled comments yesterday.
He got hate. Bruno got hate?
Bruno got hate, and if you could do it to Brew, you could do it to anyone.
You know what? That's actually an amazing segue into something I wanted to tell you about only on The Toast. So just remind me in 2 minutes after you finish your story.
Will do. No, just saying that Bruno's here and after everything that he went through, like that he had his like booty hole on the chair.
And?
Yes.
Well, I'll pull my pants down and put my booty hole on the chair because that's how influential
Bruno is. On the way that he lays on his mama.
Okay. Well, you know what? I would be shocked that people are giving Bruno hate, but I stumbled upon actually the most shocking corner of the internet yesterday that I wanted to tell you about on this here show. And the fact that you brought this up so organically is meant to be, okay?
I'm listening.
So there was this trend on TikTok in the last like week or two. There is this woman, her name is Kat Janice, and she is dying. And she is a single mom, and she like wanted to leave something for her son, like financial support. And so she released a song, and all like everything's in his name. So like long after she's gone, if people stream the song, it'll just be this revenue stream for her son. And it blew up. There's like 2 million people made videos using. So like it's this whole income for her son. It was like this really kind of beautiful. And it's actually a good song. Walk in the room. Like I saw it all over TikTok. Well, when you thought they were going to give Bruno hate and you found that shocking, the dying woman is being canceled.
Old tweets.
She follows the IDF on Instagram.
Oh my God.
Jackie, I wish you could see her comments. This person is dying. D-Y-I-N-G. Not like literally dying. She's getting canceled. And I just thought I had seen it all. And I saw these videos and it's young women. I'm sorry. It is making videos of being like, I knew something was off with Kat Janice. Okay.
I'm sick.
Okay. I had a bad feeling the whole time. That's why I didn't make a video. That's what people say. I didn't make a video using her song. I had a feeling.
No, well, now you have to.
No, but no.
Oh, they said that.
Do you think I was just saying?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying like, that's why you didn't participate.
Could you die?
First of all, support Kat Janice.
Of
stream.
Course.
What's the song?
What is it called?
You know what? I think the whole episode, I'm going to leave the song streaming on my Spotify on mute.
Kat Janice song, Dance You Out of My Head. I actually think you'd like the song. We'll make a video after. Like, isn't that so crazy?
That's insane. People are so dumb.
No, mentally ill.
Well, there's so many things happening here because even if like Kat Janice had aired in her life, like prior to this, like I think Tabula Rasa, the woman's dying.
Of course.
And now the crime committed is that she follows the most moral army in the world on Instagram. Like you're dumb.
How crazy is that?
Okay, I'm leaving it on repeat.
Yeah, so stream that song.
It's going to be my number one song of the year.
And totally another, like...
Oh my God, she's so cute.
No, she's adorable.
She's so
And her
cute.
Son is so cute, too.
I love her. Stream Dance You Out of My Head. I love the title. It's giving.
It's giving... Yeah, what is it? Come on.
I like this
much to dance with you. Oh, did we make it a story today that Selena Gomez has a new song? Because we need to predict what it's going to sound like. So if there's a story that can get the boot.
There actually isn't. What I was going to say is today's stories came together in a flash.
Okay, so
they're solid as a rock.
I'll just bring it up now. Selena Gomez has a new song, and I believe it's called Love On.
Oh, yeah.
And what do we think that's going to sound like? She has 430 million followers.
No, it's insane.
How does she have more followers than Taylor Swift?
I don't know. Okay, I think it's about like turning your love on.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Turning it off.
The caption is wait till she has 200 million more followers than Taylor Swift. Like, that makes no sense to me.
No.
Selena Gomez, as it pertains to Instagram, is giving industry plant.
That's really weird.
It is.
Especially because it's not like her Instagram is bussing.
No. Okay, sorry. So it said, wait till I turn my love on. That's okay. Wait till I turn my love on.
Like, and I think it's, the message is going to be like, it's been off for a while.
Yeah, so like the hook, wait till, I think it's going to go like this. Wait till I turn my love on. Honestly, I wish. Like, that sounds so good.
Yeah, and then
the and you know, maybe
it's
like,
kind of giving like stop in the name of love.
That was my inspiration.
Do you think she'll sample?
Love. Well, you know, she is dating like an
In the name of love.
Before I turn my love on.
Love.
You know, she is dating like an actually really talented and successful music producer. So hopefully there's influence, you know, in that.
I feel like the song came together probably before they started dating, but hopefully he takes a look at it before she presses publish.
Yeah, just like a quick revision.
Yeah.
I am wearing a different pair of jeans than I wore yesterday, which is just kind of an excuse for me to promote our vlog that people are, like, people are dying over the
vlog. It's a really good vlog. It came together so organically.
And it has a little bit of everything. It has mukbang. It has husbands. It has a breakdown in the fitting room.
It has a try-on haul.
A try-on haul. It has poison. We were actually, like, I don't want to spoil that, but we were poisoned not once, not twice, but thrice yesterday or 2 days ago. So the vlog is on patreon.com/toast. It's just a day in the life with Jax and Claude. We're trying out some new fast food items. We're heading to the mall. We're buying jeans. It's really kind of a perfect afternoon.
Yeah.
And people are saying, like, we're getting, like, a kind of like an unhinged Jax.
Oh, for sure.
Jax was being, like, really crazy at Abercrombie & Fitch.
I was. When there's music playing, there's just no telling what I'm going to do.
She's so unpredictable.
It's so true. So check it out, patreon.com/thetoast. And I don't want to lead with, like, bad news for people, but I have bad news and then good news.
What?
Which is that there's no show Monday, of course.
Oh,
it's a holiday weekend.
By the way, I think the Toasters like wouldn't find that bad news. They know how much, like, how important and how integral bank holidays are to our health.
Yeah, our
and
mental health.
They wouldn't be upset.
No, I feel like people are always like remarking on like our positive mental health.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it has to do with federal holidays and long weekends.
We actually are, and I don't think we talk about this, like, we're extremely neurotypical.
I think about it a lot, but no, we've never had this conversation on the show.
Yeah, and I think maybe, I don't know, you know, what the main factor is, but you and I, like, this is not a mental health podcast, and I think, like, most podcasts do end up, you know, going that way.
They wade into.
Yeah, yeah, and this is not, I mean, this is a podcast that is good for your mental health.
Yes, but we do not discuss your mental health.
Like, it's not one of our platforms. Like, we're just kind of neurotypical in that way.
And these days, being neurotypical is atypical.
It's true. It's true.
And I feel it's like something that's kind of weird about us now.
No, I know. It's like we're influencers without like mental health.
Well, don't like jinx it.
Oh my God, totally.
But yeah, no.
I feel like a part of being an influencer is like sharing your mental health journey. And like, my journey is really not that interesting. There really isn't one.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, how did the day go?
Yeah, no, like I have mood swings, of course.
Yeah.
But nothing, we aren't, you know, a lot of influencers are very open about like what medications they take. Like we're not medicated. We're just like kind of neurotypical. I love that word.
Yeah. I heard it for the first time.
I know when you're going to say Noah Beck on the Charli D'Amelio show.
It shocked me to my core that there was such a large word for something just so
standard.
What was once standard. Mm-hmm. And I can never think of the word. I always have to ask you what it is, neurotypical. I'm like cognitive normative, like
heteronormative cognitivity.
Yeah. Neurotypical.
Yeah. So this is just kind of like the neurotypical podcast. Actually, it really is.
It really is. But maybe I do think that this podcast is good for people's mental health in general, because I think we're most of the time extremely positive and we give off good vibes. But I think that also reflects onto us. I think doing the podcast every day is good for us to remain neurotypical.
I think that's so true. It's like kind of what came first, the neurotypicality or the podcast.
This podcast is a buoy.
It's true. It's true. And this podcast is definitely
good. In a sea of despair.
In a sea of despair. This podcast really is good for your mental health. Like, I think part of it, yes, we're so positive. It's just always good to laugh. It's always good for like your brain. But also the routine of it.
You know, we're here for you.
We are. We are so reliable. It's disgusting.
And I think we're also here for each other.
You know what we do like on this podcast all the time? We just like talk about ourselves like in the third person in such a positive way. Like, God forbid anybody talked about us this way. Like, we would be so flattered. That's all we do. We always just like sit back and talk about this podcast at a glance.
No, we always talk about the podcast and what's going on with the podcast.
No, we like have these revelations about the podcast.
I think it's important.
It's called being self-aware.
To reflect on where you're at.
100% to reflect.
And we do this podcast.
We do, yeah.
In a vacuum.
Oh my God, it's
and
so true.
And so often we just kind of need to like pull out.
You guys don't understand.
Zoom out and be like, where is the podcast these days?
You guys like really don't understand how there's nobody else in this room. Like, it's just us. And it's really kind of scary to do that because like I feel comfortable, you know? I could just like say anything and then I forget about the million. Actually, Jackie and I were talking about something yesterday. Should we float?
Let's float the idea, but I do think it's not the right idea for not even just because of doubling life. The work, but I think people like would have a hard time keeping up with it. And if you like start to fall back so much, you might just give up entirely.
Jackie and I were just like hypothesizing, just throwing ideas out about like things to, you know, revolutionize the business.
Yeah. How we could grow exponentially, double in size.
We're always looking forward.
Yeah.
And we're like, what if we just did two podcasts a day? And at first we were like, wait, yes. Cause double the podcast equals double the revenue. Like, we're not dumb. It would kind of be like a morning and a night, correct?
Yeah. So we'd have to bump the morning one up. Like we would record earlier.
And then evening.
The evening couldn't be like late at night because then like
no one there's no time.
People are sleeping. They have to sleep.
It's an imperfect idea. It was a good idea, but it's not right.
No, it's not right. I don't think you guys have enough time to listen to all the episodes. And I think that if so many got backlogged, you would get intimidated and be like, I'm not caught up. I miss the jokes.
It's also crazy because we actually like are... it's like us in the daily. Like, we're the most frequent podcasters and we would be doing more.
Right.
Anything to beat the daily.
No, I guess the other option is weekends.
No, because actually.
No, because we want to stay neurotypical.
We want to stay neurotypical, first of all. And second of all, no, because like our Friday episodes are probably our least downloaded episodes. Like, by the time people don't need us anymore, we've set them up for success.
We brought you into the weekend.
So
and
no one would listen to a Saturday episode, like seriously. And I know the comments are going to be like, no, I would. No, you wouldn't. Okay. Like the numbers, I know the numbers. I'm a data analyst. Like, you wouldn't fucking listen.
Some people would, and most people would, but it's just not enough to move the needle.
No.
And we need to like maintain our sanity so we could help the sanity of others.
No, it's so true. I forgot. Like, neurotypicality is kind of like my priority these days.
What we could do is do longer episodes.
Could we?
No.
No. Like, by the time
more
this episode
segments,
ends,
more
like,
recaps.
I'm sweating. And I've said what I needed to say. I don't want to just say stuff for
and
the sake of having minutes.
I don't want to harm the quality of the episodes.
I agree. So all that to say, one of my favorite activities is sitting with you, talking about our business in the third person at a glance.
And I think the business in the third person at a glance is holding its own.
And I'm excited because it sounds like we have great stories. We also have Queenie and Weenie of the Week, our weekly segment on Fridays, where we just kind of wrap up the week, look at it at a glance, and give out the prestigious awards of Queenie of the Week and Weenie of the Week. I have mine. Do you have yours?
Not yet, but I will solidify them during the ad break.
I thought of them before bed. So I'm ready, if you are.
Ready as I'll ever be for the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five stories that you need to know are brought to you by McDonald's. So as the toasters know, we are truly wholeheartedly obsessed with McDonald's. There is truly nothing better than getting home from a long night, having that McDonald's either picked up or waiting for you or delivered, and just getting out of your girdle and expanding. You know, that's what happens when you get out of your girdle. And just being with the ones you love, like sipping on a nice ice cold soda and just eating McDonald's. I mean, there's really no bad situation to eat McDonald's, but that is like my ideal situation. Also, that's actually, peak is in your car. Like when you're so hungry at the drive-thru, like you cannot get that bag in your hand fast enough.
And
like,
it's hot.
And it's hot and then your whole car smells. That's also another ideal situation.
Ooh, yeah.
That's why we're so excited to partner with McDonald's to talk all about their classic burgers, which are hotter, juicier, and tastier than ever before. So much so that the Hamburglar is on the loose, giving nostalgia. We have nothing but empathy and respect for the Hamburglar, because how could you blame him for trying to get himself the Big Mac that he deserves? After all, the McDonald's patties are cooked to juicy perfection. The cheese is perfectly melted. We're talking a pillowy, soft golden bun and a Big Mac that now has more special sauce in every bite. We stand with the Hamburglar because these are McDonald's best classic burgers ever. So try the best burgers ever at a McDonald's near you. There's really never a bad time to go to McDonald's to have a burger. And I just feel like for the sake of, you know, it's a Friday, go treat yourself, eat it in the car. Like that's probably like for a lot of you, like only your moment of peace, like getting away from your kids. Eat it in the car and enjoy. Today's episode is also brought to you by Say Beauty. Oh, I'm so excited about this new sponsor. I'm actually wearing their Sun Melt right now. Say Beauty is an award-winning, clean, and planet-positive makeup brand sold exclusively at Sephora. They have several award-winning best-selling products, including the Best of Allure winner, which is their Slip Tint SPF 35 Tinted Moisturizer, their Dew Blush, and their Glowy Super Gel. They refer to themselves as the clean complexion experts because each makeup product is meticulously crafted with sustainability in mind and packed with good-for-you ingredients. So they leave out over 2,000 ingredients that are deemed potentially harmful to skin. Jackie's very much like in her Kourtney Kardashian era, and that applies to makeup as well. Say Beauty is one of those brands where it's like, it's for me at least, it's like so great that it's clean, but that's not why I found it. I found it because their products were supreme, and I feel like a lot of people come to it because it's a clean brand and stay because the products are supreme, and a lot of people come to it because their products are really always going viral. I love the super gel, the glowy super gel. It's what you put on under your makeup to give you like kind of a fresh, bright, glowy look. Perfect under foundation or their tinted moisturizer. I also just love their cream bronzer. I'm wearing it today. You can shop Say Beauty at Sephora. It's really giving like that perfect no makeup makeup look, but you don't look like a slob. Like it still has coverage. I really love all their products. They're really well made. And again, they're clean. You can shop them at Sephora. I love the Slip Tint. That's the SPF tinted moisturizer, the Dew Blush. And then my favorite is the Glowy Super Gel. Also don't sleep on their cream bronzer and their brushes. They make really, really good brushes. Today's episode is also brought to you by a Jackie O favorito. It's the Taylor Farms.
Turdy, how Taylor Farms has changed my life.
We had a Taylor Farms for dinner. What was that, two nights ago already?
Yeah.
Olivia made it. So Taylor Farms and their chopped salad kits.
Oh, so Olivia came to Taylor Farms on her own and then saw our Instagram stories.
Because they sell it at Costco. That's how she figured it out.
And I feel like there are a lot of ways in which the toast like changes people's lives, changes my life. Mm-hmm. And Taylor Farms like actually changed my life. And I have to thank the toast, this business, third party.
Me too.
Like at a glance.
So they deliver the freshest, best tasting salads to eat at home or on the go. They're a family owned company on a mission to create healthy lives through fresh, delicious food. So their chopped salad kits are not boring. They have over 30 flavors. And what I think sets them apart is a multitude of things. You think salad in a bag, you think brown lettuce, of course. No, Taylor Farms would never. It's so fresh. The lettuce is crispy. All the ingredients are packaged like in these little baggies inside the bag. So if you want to take something out, because you guys know, like sometimes like I'm in a crouton mood, sometimes I'm not, you can like customize it. It's not pre-mixed, which I really, really like. So you can make it, salad is so personal. But what I think really sets them apart is the fact that their lettuce and all their ingredients are chopped. Like for me, like a salad, I can't eat it if it's not chopped. I want it to be mulch-like. And they get that at Taylor Farms. You can purchase Taylor Farms chopped salad kits wherever you like to shop. It's available at all major grocery stores. I happen to love the Caesar, you know, because I'm like classic like that in a chic kind of way. But they have really good flavors like the citrus ones. And you can get the Taylor Farms chopped salad kits where you like to shop. It's available at all major grocery stores.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Speaking of Taylor.
Oh, I like what you did there.
Thank you. Taylor Swift donated $100,000 to the family of the mom killed during the Chiefs parade shooting. Taylor Swift donated $100,000 to the family of the woman who was fatally shot during the Chiefs Super Bowl parade in Kansas City this week. The singer contributed to the GoFundMe with two installments of $50,000 and wrote, "Sending my deepest sympathies and condolences in the wake of your devastating loss. With love, Taylor Swift." The fundraiser had been set up to benefit Lisa Lopez Galvin's family. It had a goal of $75,000, but has already raised more than $176,000, with $100,000 of those funds being sent by Taylor.
And now that, like, this is the first I'm hearing about the GoFundMe, so not only does Taylor, like, giving the money obviously mean a lot, but the publicity that it brings, like, I'm sure the GoFundMe right now is already up to way more than that.
Yeah, I'm gonna pull it up.
Taylor's a generous queen. She never does it in like an annoying or like PR type of way. Like she just like put it on her credit card. Like how do you even pay $50,000 like on a GoFundMe? Like you send a wire?
I think there's options, maybe PayPal.
Yeah, or maybe she like works with GoFundMe, you know, like directly.
I feel like no, because she just kind of
does it on her computer.
Did it on her computer.
Yeah.
You know, anonymous or non-anonymous, want to write a note.
Yeah, this is really sweet. Obviously, like the connection to Travis and Kansas City is obvious, but I am curious like what the team or like the players will do, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure like the sports world is really good about stuff like that. Like they take care of their own. So I'm just curious what they're going to do, but so sad that it was one person died, correct?
One person died, 22 people were shot. Among the injured were 11 children.
Oh my God. And the woman who passed away, tell me about her.
She was a local radio DJ, I believe.
Oh, right.
And a mother.
So sad.
So sad. So, so awful.
Yeah. Taylor's a queen.
She is.
But we expected nothing less.
Yeah.
She also played in Melbourne yesterday.
How did that go?
It was, I think, the biggest concert. Like, it's Taylor's biggest concert because the venue there holds 96,000 people. Jeez. I don't know if it's, like, the biggest concert ever. It definitely, like, broke some sort of record. And she announced, like, an alternative. You know, she does this thing where she releases an album. And then she also makes, like, another version of the album available that has, like, one more song and a different cover. It's kind of, like, this, like, weird thing that she does. And so she announced that last night, like, a new cover. And there's a... what's it called? Bonus track. And it's called The Bolter.
Hmm.
And a lot of people are referencing. There's like this famous video. You know, her and Joe were never photographed together ever. The one time they are, they're I think they're in New York. So they're like leaving a facility and they have to get from the door to the car. There's probably like a 12-foot sidewalk that they have to get through. And they bolt. Like they run. They sprint right into the car. It's like this funny moment. But now it's giving The Bolter.
Perhaps. But when... take that video out of the equation. Like, I think someone who just, like, bolted on her.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in a metaphorical sense.
I feel like it could be some sort of follow-up to The Archer.
I've been the bolter.
I've been the bolty. I don't know. It's just, like, because it's giving The Bolter The Archer.
I love The Archer, so I hope it's that, if we get more Archer.
But The Archer is a track five, and I feel like if she wanted to, like, make it obvious that these two songs were connected, she would make it a track five. Track five is, like, a big deal in Taylor's universe.
Okay.
Like, all track five songs are, like, really kind of, like, her heart, most heartbreaking ones. Like,
okay. I believe. Give me track five.
Dear John is a...
What's track five on Midnight's? Bigger Than the Whole Sky?
I'll tell you. Good question, Jackie.
Thank you, Turdy.
Okay. Midnight's. I feel like, as, like, a stan, I should know, but I don't, actually.
I'm not judging.
You're on your own, kid.
You always have been?
Yeah. Let me tell you the track five on Speak Now.
Like, heartbreaking.
Dear John.
Okay.
Wait, maybe then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, no, you're on your own, kid. Red, I want to say, well, Too Well, yes.
Wow, 1989?
1989, it is, weird. This one feels like it doesn't fit. It's like the only one. All You Have to Do Is Stay.
Oh, but it's about someone leaving.
No, it's
her.
Like a sad song, but it's not, I guess there really isn't like a crazy sad song on
1989.
I feel like Clean would have been like a track five. Let me tell you what it is on Fearless.
That's a good point.
White Horse.
That's a good point in an album to, you know, bring it down.
Evermore track five is Tolerate It.
Well, they're all like emo.
It's so true. Screamo. And then Folklore track five is My Tears Ricochet.
All those songs, I love those two albums. They're all those songs are the same to me at this point.
I actually don't disagree. And,
in a good way.
And I mean it in a good way, too. I think that's like a true symbol of like a work of art.
It's a work of, yeah.
Yeah, but I definitely, well, like, what would you say is your favorite Taylor Swift album? I know that's like the most basic question.
These days, not to be so basic, let me think. Always been.
1989?
It's always been Red,
mm-hmm.
But these days it's 1989 since the Vault tracks. Like, I'm having a renaissance with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe I'm saying that, but it's just that good.
My favorite album, of course, like comes and goes, but sort of like a staple for me is always, do you know what I'm going to say?
Fearless?
No.
I don't know. I can't.
Evermore. Okay. And it's like so random, but like it's the best album. Like everybody sleeps on it. I think it's like probably like.
Is that the song that has Peace?
No, Peace is on Folklore.
Damn.
But I'm a fire and I'll give you a brand new home. I do feel like pretty much every surprise song that we get now is a repetition. Like if she hasn't played it, she's not going to play it. She's not going to do anything new, I don't think. But I do feel like now she's at a place in her life where she could play Peace.
Yeah,
I think
she could just sing it and be like, hey, this old song about an old boyfriend that I wrote, like it's not heartbreaking
anymore.
Same
with All Too Well.
Because it's been like, dispelled.
Exactly.
Myth busted.
I think while she was in the States, like she was avoiding it. Like I think it was too hard for her. Now, I think maybe she doesn't play it because it's really not a song I think that would sound good live in terms of like the music. And I mean acoustically, excuse me, not live, acoustically. So I just want to say like, I do feel like it's possible.
Yeah, I agree.
Thanks. I love when we agree.
Yeah, it's like so uninteresting. It's like, okay, so we agree.
Yeah, why do we have a podcast?
Should we move on?
Right, like should we cancel the show?
Are you ready for our next story? Mm-hmm. Because it's some big news. The Met Gala 2024.
Oh my God, yes.
Chair, committee, and theme has been announced. So Monday, May 6th, Margot Washery's birthday will be the Met Gala. And the co-chairs will be Bad Bunny, Chris Hemsworth, Jennifer Lopez, and Zendaya.
So
the theme is the Garden of Time.
I kind of love.
And it will welcome guests to the museum for an exhibition entitled Sleeping Beauties, Reawakening Fashion.
Okay, like I kind of just love that. Like
it's giving Disney.
It's giving like something I can understand. Like when it was Comme des Garçons, like,
Yeah.
Avant-garde, like I can under, like I can kind of visualize this.
Garden of Time, like florals.
Right, florals for spring. Groundbreaking. Reawakening of fashion. Like I could visualize it. And that I appreciate for somebody who like is not a fashion person.
Let me just say this. This is the Vogue article. They say the forthcoming show has not to do with the Brothers Grimm or Disney. Rude.
I didn't think that it did.
But rather the celebration of clothing and fashion so fragile that it can't ever be worn again and are thus sleeping beauties in the scrupulous archives of the Costume Institute.
Oh, Kim is going to wear like a dress made entirely of glass or something.
Or like flowers, like
yeah, no. I feel like it's
you
actually
know what it's giving non-sustainable.
It's giving wasteful.
It's giving waste, and I just feel like in a time such as this, yikes, Vogue.
I don't know. Everyone's just going to take their private jets to this like unsustainable event, and it's disgusting.
And then wear something they can only wear once.
Now, Liz Woods pointed this out, which I thought was really interesting. Of course, you know we tune into the Met Gala for the people. Like, we want to know who's going, who's rubbing elbows, this famous person, that famous person. And the Kardashians are, of course, a cornerstone of the event. It's kind of like their bat mitzvah every single year. And Taylor has been known to show up. Taylor has been on the board, the committee you were just announcing. And this committee feels very apolitical. It feels very neutral, Liz was saying. Like, you know, if Taylor was on the board or if Kim was on the board, then it's like their night. And maybe Kim would always go, but like Taylor would certainly not go if it was Kim's night or if Kendall was on the board. Kendall has been on the board. Now, Bad Bunny is of course Kendall's boyfriend, but I think it's still like a neutral crew. And this does sort of lay the scene, Liz was saying, for both Taylor/Travis and Kimberly and her family to show up. Now, I don't know how this schedule, oh no, we said she does have time in her tour schedule to make a stopover in New York for the Met Gala. It is a lot of travel.
She would have to really want to go.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like she loves it so much, but she has been on the board, so maybe. I would say, though, Chris Hemsworth, what?
Question mark Chris Hemsworth.
Has he ever been?
Does he even, like, understand fashion? He doesn't.
No, and he's going to wear something, like, other than a suit. He's going to be, like, girly
in a costume. Yeah, no. It's giving out of place.
It is.
Also, I'm so glad you brought this up. I want to talk about the announcement video that like the Vogue graphic design team made. They made this video. It was like an Instagram Reels to announce like who was going to be on the committee and what the theme was. And it was giving like the most low budget ass graphic design. I was shocked that like this was a Condé Nast production. It was like a fake group text. And it's like Anna texted, hey guys. And then it's JLo answers. And then it says, oh, Chris Hemsworth. Oh, I'll be there. So uninspiring, so not creative, so done. I mean, hello, have you seen the artwork for Claudia Autry's hit single, 100%? It's literally this design. Like, it's so basic. Like, if I can come up with it, you should be doing better.
Well, they just did major layoffs. So maybe the creative team
Was laid off.
Maybe their ideas person.
Sorry, there's no excuse, like, for Vogue. And this is the biggest thing in the Vogue calendar year. Like, this is what they're known for.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, like, just envisioning Anna texting, I was like, stop.
Yeah.
It was giving loser energy. It was. I like hated the graphic.
Damn.
Like with a fiery passion.
So I thought it was uninspired, but it got the necessary information to me.
I would have really preferred like a high quality video. Like you have all these celebrities. JLo has agreed. JLo needs to be like, you need to get everyone in the Vogue office. It'd be funny if they were like at
and
a
make
conference
like a
table.
Little skit. Spoof. Okay, a skit.
I love a skit.
Okay. Maybe we'll get a skit before the event.
No, this was the place for the skit. Like this was the opportunity.
Do you want
and it's
know,
been ruined.
I'm so sorry that you feel that way. Do you want to know more about the theme specifics?
Oh, thank you for asking. No.
Okay, but like it's, there's there.
No, I said I think it's a very good theme. Does it have anything to do with the group chat?
No.
Okay.
But just want to, let me just say, per the Met, we're expected a range of fashion on display, which dates back to a 17th century English Elizabethan era bodice that embodies the beauty of the natural world, its fragility, and its inevitable decay. I don't know about that.
Who do you think Taylor would go with, like designer-wise? She low-key has like a lot of relationships. Like Oscar de la Renta did a lot of her tour outfits. She did that Stella McCartney collab.
Maybe she would like finally wear a nice looking outfit.
Like, who do you think dresses people the best? Like, who would you like for her to go to the Met Gala with?
Designer?
Like, who do you feel like is always kind of killing it? Like, in a dream world, she would do, like, Moschino.
No, but I don't even...
Like, she would never.
Love the looks. Okay. Unless it's one, you know...
Yeah.
Like, Versace.
Versace? Yes. Yes. Good answer.
The theme can be broken up into three sub-themes.
Oh, land, my God. They take themselves so seriously.
Land, sea, and sky. That's pretty, but it's also giving, like, color war.
It's definitely giving color war, like gold galaxy versus blue navy. but it is also giving, like, the elements, which I think is, like, a really good for a theme.
And I like a sea theme, under the sea.
Yes, yes. The seaweed is always greener.
In some bad, you're telling me it's not Disney? It's Disney.
I do always say, like, I would just love... By the way, and them like partnering with Disney and like Bob Iger having a table is something they would do. They're always like giving tables away to like Meta and TikTok. Like,
yeah. Oh, and the TikTok CEO was a co-chair. They slipped that into the caption.
That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. I wonder what TikTokers will go, if any.
Maybe
Alex Earle. Well, I am a TikToker. Thank you for calling me that. Alex Earle.
Maybe.
Because there was a time 1 year when YouTube had a big table. That was when Derek Blasberg was... like head of fashion at YouTube. And they had James Charles, Nikki Tutorials. And
I think that was the first year Emma Chamberlain.
Yeah. And then she's the only one who stuck.
Yeah.
But she's like, it's so funny. I don't even like think of her as in the YouTube bucket anymore.
Yeah.
So maybe this is like the year of the talker.
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
That would be, but I feel like with TikTok, the landscape changes so quickly. It's so like
true.
Whoever it is right now might not be top of the pile in May, and who might be top of the pile in May is someone who we don't even know yet.
Well, Charlie and Dixie actually have been.
Oh yeah, they'll go, and they'll designers go. Will take them. I'm not worried about them. Addison goes. No, but I feel like it's someone who's a little more viral. Like honestly, if it were today, like Pookie would be going. She's all over New York Fashion Week.
Pookie would be going. You're right.
Pookie and Jet. Have you seen them everywhere?
Of course.
And honestly, Pookie looks absolutely fire.
You know, she looks absolutely fire. Do you know who I actually think will go? I just figured it out.
Ew.
If it was happening right now, I don't know if she'll still be having, but she's having a moment.
It Kat Janice?
No, it's Nara Smith. Now, let me explain. No, you know her. She went so viral recently, and I'll tell you why. You'll think it's funny. Her mans, we were just talking about him, Lucky Blue Smith.
Yes, yes.
And obviously, Lucky Blue Smith's ex-wife, and I think they have a baby together, is the new girl that Joe Jonas is dating, and that's why we were just talking about them. But Nara Smith... Oh, she gives homesteading trad wife.
She's a homesteading trad wife.
You don't even know. She said, this video, I think it has 20 million views. She said, let's make a homemade lasagna. So what do you think homemade lasagna? What do you think? Like you layer it.
Yeah.
And like maybe if you're a real homesteader, like maybe you'll make your own pasta.
Yeah.
First step, she makes her own mozzarella. Jackie, it was the craziest thing. Everything was homemade. The pasta was homemade.
The sauce, I'm sure, from tomatoes.
Of course.
Slob.
I do think she did, you know, she didn't slaughter the meat. I think she went to a butcher, but everything she does is homemade. Let's make a brownie and ice cream. Homemade ice cream, homemade brownie from scratch.
I saw her peanut butter and jelly. And then I also saw that her husband took her shopping at the mall.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Oh, he took her everywhere. Bottega, Louis Vuitton. She bought everything in sight. So she's obviously like a material girl.
Yeah, we love.
I love.
Get you a girl who can do both, who can make her own mozzarella, but also loves a Bottega bag.
She was, oh my God. And she was like, she couldn't decide. I'll take them all.
And then she just went to Fashion Week. Paying. I saw she was with Tinks. Like she, right. So she's in the fashion world. She sat front row at Tory Burch.
I
like,
agree with you. She should be there.
She should be there. Her and Lucky's a model. So he's in the fashion world. They should be there.
1000%.
Honestly, and we say this for everything. Like Vogue really needs to bring us on as consultants. We don't have to go. But like they need our help in deciding who to invite when it comes to like the culture. Because
the thing is, it's not like they don't try and they're like, our doors are closed
yeah.
to influencers. Like they really like want to try and then they're just behind.
While still remaining exclusive.
But then they're behind.
You know, they stink big time. Period.
Big time. Big time stink. Land, sea, and sky.
Cute.
Also, The Garden of Time. There's a short story of the same title written by J.G. Ballard in 1962. Where do they find this shit?
No, I don't know.
The story tells of a Count Axel and his wife, the Countess. She should be there.
Has a housewife ever been to the Met Gala after being a housewife? I think like probably like in her heyday, Kelly Ben Simone went.
Like, yeah, like Jill Denise Ben Richards. Simone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Post housewife. Like Lisa Rinna? She's like very in fashion. She goes to a lot of fashion weeks. She goes to Milan, her daughters.
I want to say no.
I want to say no as well. I feel like there was a year, there was a time, maybe 1 or 2 years where Erika Jayne could have gotten the invite. Yeah. Cause she did like work with Vogue before Tom's scandal.
Yeah.
After like maybe her second or third season, she was really, really high fashion.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That I feel like would have been the only opportunity. Oh, well, you know what? Actually, it's like kind of a loophole, but I feel like this year, like Jenna Lyons could go. But she's literally not a housewife. It's a loophole. It doesn't count. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So you don't want to know any more about the theme because they're giving us a lot of references.
Sorry.
Here.
And I mean, like, if you wouldn't have been invited before Housewives.
And you're invited because you're a housewife.
Exactly.
Yes. Agreed.
But, so, like, you're right. Like, it's New York's finest night. Like, Ramona Singer should be there and Luann. Like, they should be there.
You should be here.
Literally.
Standing with your arm around me here.
You should be here. Walk through the door with that whammy, I'm right here, smile. We think of two different songs when we say you should be here.
I think of Cole Swindell.
I think I'm singing Begin Again by Taylor Swift.
Are you ready for our next story?
You would have been so happy.
Yeah, I am. The man of the week, he's doing a lot of press because of the Invictus Games, but Prince Harry was on GMA talking about King Charles's diagnosis.
Oh my God.
And other tings.
Oh, I missed this whole thing.
Prince Harry speaking out about his father, King Charles, father, asterisk.
His alleged father.
Quotes, for the first time since since the monarch announced his cancer diagnosis and the Duke of Sussex flew to the UK to be by his side. Harry, who's in Canada for the Invictus Games in Vancouver.
Jackie. What is the Invictus game?
It's like games for injured veterans.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, and I think it's his shindig because he's always the one.
I've only heard of it when him and Meghan are like doing stuff.
And they're there now. It's in Whistler.
Okay, we stand. We stand.
And he's doing press. That's why I think he's been top of mind recently.
Okay.
So he gave an interview when asked about how he first learned about his father's diagnosis. He said, I spoke to him. I jumped on a plane and went to see him as soon as I could. I feel like that's not really directly answering whether or not he heard it from the news, but...
That's,
you know, because like I'm sure you did speak to him after you heard it on the news.
No, and also I feel like once the public found out, the family had known for I want to say weeks, like because it takes a while to make that sort of decision.
You think so? Because they started like the way maybe I'm just
you need time to process. Okay, fine. Days. The fact that Harry got on the plane
when we knew,
the moment after we knew, family would know at least one day earlier.
That's true, Turdy. Lou.
So I find it questionable that he was on the plane. I'm telling you, William found out, I think it's really conservative to say 1 week ago. Before releasing a statement, I think Prince Charles sat with the news for a few days. You don't think that's crazy?
No,
you think he went to the doctor, came home and told his publicist to release a statement? No way.
You're right. Days.
Days. Conservatively.
Days of rumination. But Harry only went when we knew.
It's giving out of the loop.
Are you out of the loop yet? Are you out of the loop yet? Are you out of the loop yet? Are you out of the loop?
You are. Maybe that's because your father is actually perfectly healthy. James Hewitt. Maybe that's why. Maybe because you're real. No, I really need to stop. Like, and by the way, everybody gave their thoughts on that conspiracy theory in the comments yesterday. And it is like, it has been widely dispelled. Like, yeah. It's really not true. But for the sake of like my... mental health, like it's funny and I'm gonna keep saying it. It's keeping me neurotypical.
This is what Harry said. Let's get to the meat. Look, I love my family. The fact that I was able to get on a plane and go see him and spend any time with him, I'm grateful for that. Yeah. When asked about his outlook on the state of his father's health, he said, that stays between me and him. As for whether the diagnosis could have a reunifying effect on the royal family, Harry said, absolutely, yeah, I'm sure. Throughout all these families, I see it on a day-to-day basis. Bringing it back to Invictus Games. The strength of the family unit coming together. When asked about being physically far from his father during this time, he said, I have my own family, as we all do. My family and my life in California is as it is. Shady. I've got other trips planned that would take me through the UK or back to the UK, so I'll stop in and see my family as much as I can.
So wait, like him answering the question, like, do you feel like his diagnosis will have some sort of reunification effect? Is him like admitting like...
We're not unified.
Right.
And I feel like you could... make that case like for him and William, you know, like
yeah,
we all they're making it seem like he's good with Charles, whatever,
right? And the documentary was a lot about William too.
This we all know he's not speaking to William. He didn't see William when he was there,
right?
So I feel like this could have been reunifying for the family at large, not necessarily like him and Charles.
You know, after watching The Crown, like I feel like Charles and William like were never like on the same page.
Charles and William, or Charles Excuse and me, Harry,
William and Harry.
William, well, that's...
Like, as brothers, like, they maybe I'm just seeing things through the lens of The Crown, but they were never, like, this unit, like, these this band of brothers, you know?
I feel like they were, but then also, I think I got this vibe from their documentary, too, which is a better place to go for yeah. information, that they were super tight, but then they processed and grieved differently in the wake of yeah. Diana's death, and I think William, you know, took that moment to become more... in the royal family and just like assume his role more, and Harry just struggled with it more yeah. and that drove them apart.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But I do think that they used to be like the two of them and every and Kate, they used Kate, to do everything yeah. together.
Yeah.
It was, they were really like a threesome. Yeah. And I don't think there was really discord between the two of them up until recent years.
Yeah.
There was never tabloid headlines like William and Harry.
It's true, it's true,
turned
it's true.
On each other.
It's true. It's actually really sad.
So I feel like they've always been different. But they're for each other. Yeah. And now they're not there for each other. And they're incredibly different.
Jex, we can never be like them.
Oh my gosh, Turdy, don't even say it.
No, we could never.
Don't even say it. The podcast.
The podcast.
But you would think for them, like the monarchy.
Right. But no, the podcast is more important
like
than
centuries
the monarchy.
Old tradition.
Yeah.
But no.
But no.
Are you ready for our next story?
What number is it?
It's number 3. So oh. I feel as though you're ready.
No, it's not.
It is.
It's number
it's
4. Okay. But I'm
oh,
still.
It's 4. You're right. You're right. But you're still ready.
Yeah, no, I'm still ready.
Amy Schumer responds to speculation about her, quote, puffier face and shares a health update. So Amy Schumer has been doing a lot of press for her new show, Life and Beth, on Hulu, new season, February 16th. And she went on Jimmy Kimmel / Fallon, The Fallon. Tonight Show.
That's Fallon.
Okay. Same thing. And GMA. And people took away from it that her face looks different.
Yeah. So I had seen... a lot of the discourse about her face, like, and I was shocked that like we were talking like this about someone, like it was, and this was coming, and I saw it on Twitter from like these verified accounts who had like their pronouns, like these are people who are proper and, you know, who had their pronouns, and they're like, what is going on with Amy Schumer's face? And I find it really interesting that Amy Schumer has become in the last 3 months like a punchable celebrity, and it's because she's spoken out against spoken out for Israel in support of Israel, and she is like, you have to read her comments. I've been leaving comments on all her social media, like I feel bad, like people have just inundated her comments like with really like disgusting heinous at calling her like a genocide supporter and then just making fun of the way that she looks, and she has it's become acceptable to like say things that are unacceptable only about Amy Schumer now in the last couple of months, and I was shocked at the like the level of the discourse around her face, and she took to social media to respond and explain why her face looks different.
Yeah, so she, you know, said, you know, stream Life and Beth, whatever, but then also said, I've enjoyed feedback and deliberation about my appearance, as all women do, for almost 20 years. And you're right, it is puffier than normal right now. I have endometriosis, an autoimmune disease that every woman should read about. There's some medical and hormonal things going on in my world right now, but I'm okay. Historically, women's bodies have barely been studied medically compared to men. The book All in Her Head does a good job explaining this. I also believe a woman doesn't need any excuse for her physical appearance and owes no explanation. But I wanted to take the opportunity to advocate for self-love and acceptance of the skin you're in. Like every other woman person, some days I feel confident and good as hell, and others I want to put a bag over my head. But I feel strong and beautiful and so proud of this TV show I created, wrote, starred in, and directed. Maybe, just maybe, we can focus on that for a little.
I actually plan on watching the show. I haven't watched it yet, but I've heard it's very good. And I wanted to talk, I wanted to choose this story because I wanted to like make it extremely clear like what's going on with Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
Like why Amy Schumer has become this sort of like social media punching bag, and it's become like okay to make fun of Amy Schumer when it comes to like her career, her looks, her family, whatever. It's only because she came out in support of Israel. Like,
yeah.
And she's probably the most famous person to have done it. We don't have like a lot of cool celebrities on our side, so we're like all clinging to Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
And like make no mistake, like, that's what's going on. Go read her comments and, like, maybe leave a comment that she looks pretty. Like, people are so mean.
People are so mean. But after you told me about this Kat Janice thing, it's, like, really shocking. It's so not surprising.
Yeah.
It's sick. These are bad people.
Bad people. Like, seriously. Bad people.
Bad people. Love Amy Schumer. Stream Life and Death.
No, Beth.
Stream Life and Beth.
Life and Death is another show. It's that one with Elizabeth Olsen.
No, that was different.
No, Love and Death.
Love and Death. But also, Life and Beth is a take on Love and Life and Death.
Yes, very good, because Jackie.
The show is about death.
Yeah, like, it starts with, like, I think Amy's character, like, loses someone, and then it's, like, the journey of grief.
Yeah.
No, I've recently just started to, like, love Amy Schumer.
And it's,
like,
on Hulu, and it's amazing.
No, and Amy Schumer is fabulous, and I just love her.
And she's so funny, and if she wrote it and directed it, then it's
good. Then it's good. It's got the Amy Schumer stamp of approval.
So I know what I'm doing this weekend.
You know, I actually did want to watch it.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
I am not.
She's not.
Is it the fifth and final story that's brought to you by Hero Bread?
Yes, it is. I got a fridge full of Hero Bread right now.
I have had a fridge full of Hero Bread because it's a big Good Guys sponsor. And Ben was like, you have to try this bread.
Hero Bread is over, party.
And one thing about me is, like, I like bread. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not looking for alternatives. And I was very against it. I'm not going to lie. Let me tell you, Ben made me a peanut butter and jelly on Hero Bread. And, like, it's so good. It really is. Mm. You know, the fear of carbs is real. Carb-heavy foods are often the ones that we love most. And that includes bread. And Hero Bread is 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, zero sugar, and high in fiber bread. It is delicious and flavorful. I would not say that if I didn't believe it. I have had many sandwiches now on Hero Bread. It's just an easy swap. It doesn't make your life more difficult, and it does not taste bad. It really doesn't. It's soft and fluffy, and that's what we love about, you know, regular bread. But this one is a little bit better for you. Actually, it's a lot better for you. It's something for every craving, so they have sliced bread loaves, buns, tortillas. I make my little pizzas on the tortillas. The monthly small batch drops are full of indulgent favorites, like the 2-gram net carb Hero croissant or the 1-gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. So don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order when you go to hero.co and use code TOAST at checkout. That's hero.co. Use code TOAST at checkout, TOAST. I'm excited that this was our first Hero Bread read. I really, really, I like Hero Bread. I do. And I'm very particular.
You're not afraid to tell everyone?
I'm not afraid to tell anyone who will listen.
Love that. You need a hero?
I need a hero.
Bread.
Episode is also brought to you by Macy's. You know, it's that time of year where we're just, like, buying gifts for ourselves, for the ones that we love. And Macy's is making it really, really easy to find the best gifts. So when you go to Macy's.com/gift finder, you can find 25 to 40% off underwear, lingerie, brands like Calvin Klein, Gap, and more. Some exclusions do apply. And what's so great is that it's Black History Month, and Macy's is committed to empowering the next generation to create a brighter future for all. And that's why Macy's is supporting UNCF, an organization that funds scholarships for students at historically Black colleges and universities now through February 29th. So help Macy's and UNCF continue their impact by rounding up your purchase in store or donating online. You can get excited to give back and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. Also, Macy's is just a fabulous store, like, head to toe, whatever you need. Like, you can go in, need things for your home, for your man, for your child, for yourself, and leave with absolutely everything you need. It's just one of those fabulous department stores. They also have a great beauty department. I love their fragrances, and their makeup selection are just premium. You know, you've got top of the budget, middle of the budget, bottom of the budget. You can find whatever you need. Macy's is a great store, and I'm excited to be partnering with them today and every day.
I'm excited, too, to be partnering with them.
You are?
Yeah, I am.
Jackie's excited, you guys.
And it takes a lot to excite me.
It's awesome. Today's episode is finally brought to you by Collective. If you're a freelancer, you probably dread the back to office work that comes with it. And with tax season around the corner, you're adding even more to your plate. With
Trigger warning.
With Collective, you can focus on growing your business of one while letting their tax experts focus on your accounting and bookkeeping. So Collective is the all-in-one financial solution for self-employed entrepreneurs that let you focus on your passion and not your paperwork. You can let Collective handle all of the back office work that you dread, like business information, compliance, taxes, bookkeeping, accounting, even payroll. The best part is that it's a fraction of the cost of a CPA, and they actually specialize in S-corps and tax selection that will save your members an average of $10,000 per year. So if you run your own business, small business, you're self-employed, influencer, it can be really hard to do all that paperwork. We weren't taught that in school, and Collective is a really great asset. You can focus on just being, like, the boss that you are and not like all the boring paperwork. Collective is going to handle it all for you. And that's really not something you want to put off. It's also February. Tech season is like,
it's upon us.
Like a month and a half away.
Also, if you have a side hustle, the gig economy is real.
The gig economy is real. So for a limited time, Collective is waiving the onboarding fee when you go to collective.com/toast and tell them that the Toast sent you. That's $199 value for free when you go to collective.com/toast and then tell them that the Toast sent you. collective.com/toast. Tell them the Toast sent you. If your business of one is making at least $60,000 in profit annually, then you could be missing out on thousands in tax savings per year. The earlier you elect in 2024, the more money you could put back in your pocket. So get on that. Don't be late to the party.
Make haste.
Make haste, wench.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
I am.
Morgan Wallen is opening a honky tonk off of Broadway called This Bar because he found himself in this bar.
So he's like the new wave. If you go to Nashville, a part of being a country singer, I feel like people don't know like the country star economy. Like
this is kind of a new element in the last 10 years.
You hit like a benchmark at a certain level and then you open your own bar in downtown Broadway. Right now, Jason Aldean's is really popular. Miranda Lambert's is really popular.
Blake Shelton.
Florida Georgia Line. Oh, I wonder what happened to their bar.
FGL House?
Yeah. Why? Because they broke up as a band.
So they're on hiatus.
No, they broke up.
No, they're fine.
I feel like there was like a lot of rumors actually about like they like hate each other and their wives hate each other too. Like they're broken up. And I feel like they didn't even lie and tell us it was a hiatus like Little Mix did. Like they're broken up.
Keep their name out your
mouth. No, like One Direction lied to us and said they were going on hiatus. Like
FGL House is open. FGL House, this is how we eat.
I just feel like that's interesting.
It's open at 11 a.m. today if you want to go get something to eat.
So there's a lot of new big country stars, and a couple of them, Luke Combs announced a little while ago he's opening his own bar. Old Dominion's opening their own bar. It's called Memory Lane, I think.
No,
wait, what's it called? I feel like I made that up.
Google.
It's really interesting how they come up with their names. I really like it.
I know. And there's so much fodder within their songs, mm-hmm. So that would be a good job for me. Like if I...
Creative, yeah.
If I went to get a 9-to-5, like helping...
Being like a consultant for country bars.
Yeah, no,
branding.
But also like helping them name their bar.
Yeah.
Just that part.
Morgan Wallen's being called This Bar is actually great.
I love it.
I love it. I mean, that's also like his biggest song.
Is it?
This Bar is like up there with Whiskey Glasses. Like it's definitely like top five.
And Last Night. That would be a good name for a bar too.
It would honestly like.
No, This Bar is perfect.
It is.
But Last Night would be good. So Old Dominion's will be called Odie's.
No, it won't. Like, I literally saw a video.
Old Dominion's Odies.
Really?
Yep.
I, like, don't like that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I remember, like, seeing the video. Also, oh, you're Old right, Dominion Odies.
Isn't Memory Lane.
Brothers? Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Brothers?
No, it's not Brothers. It's not Osborne. The Brothers? Okay. No, that's their song. And then Luke Combs' bar is called what?
Oh, Luke Combs.
She can't type fast enough on her iPad.
No, I literally can't.
He announced it a while ago. I'm just looking at his Instagram. Honestly, no, that's a bad name. I'm trying to think. Like, if I was Luke Combs' branding manager, what would I have named it?
Category 10.
Oh, Hurricane.
Oh.
Like a Category 10 Hurricane? It's a little too smart. I don't like it, actually.
I need something dumbed down.
Yeah, no, I feel like one too many.
Oh, that's good, but it promotes overconsumption.
Okay, so does Nashville in general. Like, it's fine.
But I would need a minute, like, to do my job.
To think, yeah.
And
like when you think of his biggest songs, it's Hurricane, One Number Away.
Beautiful, Crazy, When It Rains, It Pours. But there are so, like, there's just so many lyrics.
Yeah.
Like,
Beer Never Broke My Heart and One Too Many are like his biggest songs about drinking. So if you just listen to those lyrics, like, you could find something.
Yeah.
I don't like Odies at all.
I'm so sorry to, like, rain on your parade.
It's okay.
About Odies. Anyways, Morgan Wallen.
Dierks Bentley's is really popular. He's kind of like a foolproof business plan as a country star. Like, I think for a lot of them, it's like a huge money maker for them.
Yeah. And then I think some of them that have done really well in Nashville are going to Vegas.
Oh, love that.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
His concept will be a 6-story venue called This Bar in Tennessee Kitchen.
They love vertical builds in Nashville. The bars, like the stairs, you could vomit. Like, it's every floor is like a different vibe. There's like a country floor and then like a R&B floor and like a DJ floor.
Yeah, so this bar called This Bar will reportedly incorporate pivotal elements that shaped his life, with each level showcasing photos and memorabilia from his childhood, as well as some of his most notable performances to date. Also, the food will be inspired by his favorite family favorites.
Okay, so we're opening a bar.
That was my...
Let's play.
That's where I was going.
We're opening a bar. First of all, where are we opening it?
I feel like it would have to be New York City, but I wouldn't want it to be because it's just like the economy's tanking there.
No, I know. Okay, but this is hypothetical, so don't bring like your negative energy, okay? Okay?
Don't bring the facts.
The facts, yeah. Okay, how many floors?
Wait, what neighborhood of New York City?
Oh, it has to be somewhere fabulous. Like, we want to be with the people. Like, we got to be in, like...
Big downtown.
Yeah, like... And where did we have, like, amazing... Like, honestly, it needs to be, like, the meatpacking district. Or, like, that's where we used to party.
That's our old stomping grounds. Or it could be, like, the NYU area. Because, one, we were always down there when you guys went to school there. But also, we used to work down there.
We did used to work down there. Astor Place.
That used to be, like, our spot.
No. Our spot was that apartment you and Olivia had at 777.
Yeah, that's Chelsea.
So, somewhere in that vicinity.
Yeah, somewhere between Meatpacking Chelsea, Astor Place. We'll see what the rents are going for. And like, maybe Flatiron actually is a great place to have a bar.
Are we doing like a one floor bar? Or are we going to like dream it up like Nashville style?
Let's dream it up Nashville style.
Okay, but I don't think we need more than three floors.
Okay, but I think we could have four floors and every floor is a different sister.
Love. But I feel as though all of our floors would end up being the same.
Yeah.
Because like I would want my floor to be like live music, honky tonk vibes.
I'd want my floor to be pink.
Pink the singer or pink the color?
Both.
Okay, love.
And black pink in there too. Anything to do with pink.
Margot's floor would be probably similar to mine.
Yeah.
And Olivia's would be like a jazz bar. Actually, wait, I kind of love this idea.
I don't know if it would be a jazz bar.
No, Olivia's would be like very like martinis, moody. Frank Sinatra.
Moody.
It would be like the bar at the Carlisle, like very high class. Okay, wait, I love this idea. No,
and I feel like we could have an original concept like for each floor and then like we could build it out to be like... just more unique than every other floor. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I do think like we would have to go in birth order and Olivia's being on the ground level is perfect. Like it's very New York swanky piano bar lounge.
And then I think mine being next would just be like a complete about face. Like,
oh, and by the way, with each floor, like you have to start the night because that's really how it is with us. Like one drink, two drink, three drink, four. Like by the time you get to Margot's, you're blacked out.
Classic.
And you're just starting out with Olivia's.
We don't even have to spend that much on decor. No one will notice
No. But then food. We need to talk about food.
Okay. Should it be per floor or just in
general? Per floor. My floor is going to be like a mini food court where you can go to like different
chicken
stations.
Chicken nuggets, french fries.
No, but like we're going to have a mini McDonald's. Like, and by the way, the budget, it goes without saying, in this hypothetical situation is non-existent.
What, is the budget in the room with us?
Exactly. The menu will feature like top 5-6 items from some of my favorite fast food chains. That will include beverages from Sonic. And you can make like cocktails with the Sonic beverages.
Cute.
McDonald's. Whataburger. Like we'll just, and it'll come in the packaging. Like it'll be really authentic.
I love that. I think.
Oh, the whole facility is kosher, by the way. So we don't serve bacon.
Okay. But can we serve also dairy and meat?
Yeah, we have
on separate floors?
We have two separate kitchens.
Okay. But each floor.
It's a completely kosher, and it's hypothetical.
It's kosher style.
All the meat is kosher.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's cooked
just
kosher
like
style.
Us, yeah. I think on Olivia's floor, well, she would be in charge of the food and she would love that. Yeah. And she loves like crudité.
Should we open a bar, by the way? Like, I'm so down.
No, this idea is amazing.
But no, like.
But we need a group behind us. All of these Morgan Wallens and Luke Holmes, like they work with
hospitality
groups. So they're just really the face and the creative and the inspiration, which is what we would be. But like, we can't be putting up the funds.
No. If hospitality group wants to work with us, I would open a bar.
I would look at our like numbers for real, and wherever we are biggest in the country, that's where we should open the bar.
Well, that would be, we're huge in Toronto, but I don't want to open a bar in Toronto.
This
I know.
Country.
That would be like New York, but it's also like the worst place to do business.
Yeah.
And I don't really want, well, I mean, I live in New York. I would love to own a
bar. I
feel
like we should open it on Nashville.
I'm so down.
Or Vegas.
No.
Nashville. Oh yeah. Vegas wasn't good.
Yeah.
Nashville. Love it.
Something to think about.
So then my floor would have, because it's a pink floor, like I just feel like I can't have chili, which is what I want to have.
No, also you can't serve chili at a bar. I'm sorry.
So I think it would be like more like confectionery candy ice cream.
Oh, like pastry chef energy.
Yeah.
Love.
Sweet treats.
Yeah, your floor is like the sweet treat floor.
Yeah, because you've just had like your meal at Olivia's.
By the way, no, you have to think about it. Yeah.
You've had your meal at Olivia's.
You're having like a full entree, like a fish, a salad, like really kind of a culinary experience at Olivia's.
Yeah.
Then you go up for dessert.
To my place.
Then at my place, you start
getting late night bites.
You get wasted and then you have late night bites. And honestly, I feel like we shouldn't serve food at Margot's.
No.
Like just shots, like jello shots. Yeah. Oh, edible alcohol. Like, you know, they have ice cream with alcohol, popsicles.
Snitch's places is the after party. Like if you make it there, not everyone's going to make it there.
Maybe you take the food from mine. Like you party at mine. And then right before leaving, you get all the fast food and bring it up to Margot's place for the hang.
Love.
So, and what are we calling it? Steen's Place?
Something like that.
Yeah. Drop in the comments. What should we name our bar? Oh, we're not done yet. It's Queenie and Weenie of the Week.
True that.
Our weekly segment where Jackie and I bestow the honor to two different people, groups. It can be a person, place, or a thing. It's really not that rigid. Who acted like a queen this week and who acted like a weenie this week? Let's start
with Queenie.
With Queenie. Okay.
My Queenie is Bruno.
So is mine.
Oh my gosh.
He's been through so much.
And he's defied the odds and he came on the show every day this week, even when he was under the
weather. It's so true. And he never faltered in his, like,
in his queeniness.
Bruno was mine too.
Oh my God, Bru.
We're proud of you and we're so glad you're here.
Also, Bruno's sitting on the other chair in the room right now where I do my remote filming, just like looking at us, being a star and an angel and mommy's love, mommy's king.
Now, my favorite part of this segment, the weenie of the week. Wait, I literally already forgot mine. Oh, okay. The weenie of the week for me was the husband from the Dear Toasters update. I have not stopped thinking about him.
I was thinking that too.
It's the craziest thing. And somebody left a comment that actually I really liked. She was like, you need to take the condom wrapper and like leave it on the dining room table in plain sight. And then like when he comes home, like he'll see it and just like see what he does.
I love that.
I have not stopped thinking about it. It's bothering me so much. Actually, I had meant to check the Dear Toasters email to like see if she wrote us back already, even though like it's only been one day and I doubt she has.
Yeah, she's going through stuff.
And she's probably on that vacation right now.
No, she's probably leaving right today.
Valentine's Day trip. I hope she listened to the episode.
Packing the divorce papers.
So that's my weenie of the week. I wish I knew his name. I'm sure she
listened to the episode.
I'm sure she did.
We'll see. My weenie of the week was a group of people that I learned about today.
Yeah, by the way, they were my runner up.
Which was the people who are hating on Kat Janice, a dying woman, because she follows the IDF.
Agreed.
Seriously, you people need, I don't know what you need.
Help.
Help. Education. I'm going to leave it at that.
She hasn't written back to us.
Okay, well, that's our show.
That is
our
show.
We've got a busy day today, so we've kind of got to get to step in.
It's our final one of the week. I wanted to see if she wrote us back. She hasn't yet. Oh, I need to hear from her.
We'll follow up.
So that's our show. Thank you so much for listening to the Toast of Monday Morning Show. We deliver the fast fights. Oh, wait. No. This episode's not over yet. I have been meaning to promote something. Canadian girlies.
And we couldn't have talked about Canada more. I know. In this
episode. God. I'm like the worst comedian. Lies. I got a lot of backlash.
You're so not self-promotional is the problem.
I'm shy. I got so much backlash from the Canadian girlies when I released my comedy special, Lean In, on Prime Video. The Canadian girlies were not able to access it because it's like low-key a different country and there's different rules.
And it's low-key.
Classic. And as of yesterday, no, actually the day before yesterday, I keep forgetting to promote it, my special is available on Prime Video Canada. So if you've been wanting to watch it and you want to support your girl, I appreciate you and I love you. And you can do that now. The special is called Lean In. You can just search Claudia Ashray. My other special, Disgrace Queen, is also on Prime Video Canada. But Lean In, Claudia Ashray, my second comedy special, is available on Prime Video now in the U.S. and Canada. Sorry about that. It took a little longer, eh? Thank you so much for listening to the... I feel like because I already started the outro, like no one's going to listen.
No, they'll see there's more time. Oh, what did those crazy girls
do? We need to waste
a
little bit of time.
Waste a little bit of time. Okay. Bruno, let me tell you how I love thee. Shall I count the ways?
Honestly, I'm just going to sit here in silence for like 10 more seconds.
He's not. No, because then they'll turn it off. If we sit in silence. We have to make it.
No, but if they made it here, they already heard my promo, you know?
Oh, okay. So, I mean, us, that we can't think of something to say for 10 seconds. Really, Lotter?
The beautification committee is doing such a great job. I love these flowers.
Thank you.
Oh, somebody also DM'd me and told me that there's a Lucy scorebook where like there's a beautification committee in this small town and their job is to match up like young people in the town. So that everybody like gets married.
That's really sweet.
All right, now I feel like we wasted enough time. Thank you so much for listening to the Toast of Monday Morning Show. We deliver the fast. I start seeing you every Monday to Friday. Do you please video subscribe? Give this video thumbs up. Also available back as any wackers. Maybe on Spotify. Just public radio. Every cast works up. Please leave us some back. Let's have a 65. Sorry, everybody. Put us any weekly down. We are.
Without further ado, we bid you adieu. Love ya. Bye.